You're listening to another inspiring message at United Life. We believe you'll be encouraged and motivated as you listen. For more information about us, please visit www.united-life.com or email info at united-life.com.
And it's very tempting, 2020, Vision Sunday, to go down the cliche, isn't it? 2020 vision. We're not going there. But, probably like some of you, I was back at work on Monday, first day back after the Christmas break. And anyone struggle to get back in the routine, to start getting up in the morning, to get back in that morning routine? Anyone? Or was it just some of you? Thank you, I'm not the only one. Did anyone utter those words like on Tuesday? Is it Friday yet? Or maybe you were ready for the new year. Maybe you're like, come on, it's a new year, I'm doing this. I was the former, Charlene was definitely the latter. She was ready to plow through this week. It took me a few days to warm up, I will be honest. But I was thinking about new year, everyone talks about resolutions, don't they, for new year. New starts, and then the aura, kind of the shine wears off, then the January blues, that credit card bill hits. For the over excess over Christmas. And it strikes me that at the start of a new year, often life can be just about surviving. It's what it feels like, isn't it? We hear it in our everyday conversations, don't we, and our culture. Kind of think where people live for the next payday, where people live for Friday night, where they live for the next cheap fix, the next high, the next shopping experience, the next love experience. We hear people say, if only I can just get through this season. If only I can just get kids into high school. If only I can just get rid of them into university, it'll all be good. Maybe I'll just hold on until I finally retire. Or maybe hold on to the long weekend coming up, or the next holiday, or the next purchase, the next mobile phone, the next upgrade, the next car, or maybe even just wait until I get married. Don't know about you, that's surviving. We're built for more. We're designed to live big, audacious lives in surrender and in service of our Creator God. The design of what should be an exciting and lifelong adventure. Ultimately, we are built to thrive, not just survive. It might be no surprise, Charmaine, my beautiful wife, is leading worship, and we love this church. And last year, we began 2019 reminding one another of to return to our first love, to return to Jesus Christ and to love his church, to love this church. And today on Vision Sunday, some 12 months later, it still so applies. And we're a year into being pastors here, and what a year it's been. I don't know about you, but how good was last Sunday? Phenomenal to look back, and life just goes like a breakneck speed, doesn't it? We kind of tend to forget all the good things that happen. It's so good to reposition ourselves ahead of the new year, looking back and going, wow, so much to be thankful for. Not going to lie, through the year, we've had to dig deep. We've had to live in a position of surrender, often on our knees, but this truth remains. The faithfulness of God never ceases or changes. So what do we see for this church, for C3 United Life? Actually, over the last 12 months, Shaman and I, we have talked a lot. No surprise. Every car journey, frequently at night, typically when I'm trying to get to sleep, to be honest, Shaman's like, aha, on her phone. But we've penned so many thoughts in that 12 months, particularly Shaman, who's an avid journaler. These aren't just random thoughts. They're Holy Spirit inspired. But where we see God taking this church? Not just 2020, but beyond. And you'll see 2020 for around this graphic, you've got unity and doing life together. And for us, 2020 is a year of unity. And we looked. It's all right, mate. I'll forgive you. You just make sure mine's on silent, please.
Oh, please, Dad.
But actually, speaking of doing life together, I have a colleague at work who worships another church. He's much older than me. And he texted me this morning, about an hour ago. And it just said, "Hi, Tim. Hope you're well. I hope your preach goes well. Praying for you." And I was like, if that's not doing life together, I don't know what is. So 2020, year of unity. We're calling it, and you'll see this over the next 2 weeks, hashtag United We Stand. We love it. We're so excited. And we're going to really unpack that over the next couple of weeks, because that's actually what it's going to take. We don't literally have time just on one Sunday. But if you like, what we've ended up is with a statement of faith for this church, what this church will become, and some of which we are already doing, and that is absolutely fantastic. But there is yet more. There is more to come. And Ben spoke about Lisby coming in a month or so time. I don't know if you remember when she preached here, I think much earlier last year, she brought an amazing word about the tension of being here but wanting to get there. And we've learned throughout this year that the tension is not necessarily a bad thing. But if anything, it's kept us close and dependent on God for everything. Ultimately, it's all about him, for his name, for his fame. As we sang earlier, it's all for his glory. But before I share what that kind of statement is, just thought it's actually good to look at vision and faith, because sometimes it's a word we use, but we often don't quite understand it. But vision, it's always big. And for those like Ben and Catherine, Charmaine and Grant will know that I have this phrase, big, hairy, audacious goals. What do we see in the future that's so outrageous? But that's what vision should be. It should be so much bigger than us and where we are. And actually, it has to be. Because otherwise, we can't use faith to rely on God to make that vision happen. And faith is that unfaltering confidence in the promises of God that cause us to go, to give more, to go further, to work harder, and hold on longer than he would have us do for any other reason. You can't wear faith. Over my daughter, faith is my daughter, so this is quite ironic. You can't eat it, you can't live in it, you certainly can't drive it. You can't pull it out of your pocket and show someone how much you have. You can't deposit it at the bank or prove it by some complex mathematical formula. Yet without it, you have nothing. It's like trying to build a house with no foundation, or like driving a car and you have no control. It's just skidding all over the place and heading for that cliff face. Vision is not just a hope. It's not a wish or a desire. But combined vision and hope, it's a knowledge and a conviction that we live in his grace, that we don't do this journey alone, that God journeys it with us. So this is what we see, and it's going to come up behind me in bits by bits, hopefully. There we go. The C3 United Life is a church that puts Jesus front and center. It underpins everything in prayer, is vibrant and alive, is compassionate, demonstrates extreme generosity, exudes hospitality, inspires creativity, it pursues excellence as we continue to give out of our best. It's multi-generational, brackets, and multi-racial. And it has a voice of great influence as a city on a hill. It has a heart for the poor and for the marginalized. And it celebrates all seasons and stages of life. Some people are excited. Doesn't that sound amazing? I think I have to say it again. So C3 United Life is a church that, I'm going to read it off the screen, come on, Mike, puts Jesus front and center. Yeah. It underpins everything in prayer, is vibrant and alive, is compassionate, demonstrates extreme generosity, exudes hospitality, it inspires creativity, it pursues excellence, is multi-generational, it has a voice of great influence as a city on a hill, it has a heart for the poor and for the marginalized, and it celebrates all seasons and stages of life. Doesn't that sound amazing, church? I don't know about you, that sounds like a church that's thriving. And we're already building towards it. That's the amazing thing. And it's such a broad statement. But actually, we're going to unpack that over the next 12 months. We're not necessarily going to say it, but that's going to be how we preach out from. And later this month, we will be encouraging one another again, as we did last year, as the church, to take 3 days to pray and fast, to see breakthrough for this church, not only in our lives, but also collectively as a church in 2020. There'll be more on that later. And ultimately, a thriving church is made up of thriving people. And the word thriving, it's been on my heart for months. Like literally, I haven't been able to shake it. I haven't been able to lose it. It's in everything. It's actually got really annoying at times. Just comes out in conversation. I'm like, I've said it again. God is remarkably annoying like that sometimes, isn't he? He puts a word on your heart and you just can't get rid of it. But thriving, that's what we're here for. That's what we are made to do. And we are so built to do more than just survive. And you don't even have to take my word for it. I'm sure you do, but the Bible is full of it. And probably one of our, as a couple, our favorite verses is Jeremiah 29:11. And in the Message translation, it says it like this. And this is God speaking. I know what I'm doing. Excellent. I have it all planned out. Even better. Plans to take care of you, not abandon you. Plans to give you the future you hope for. I don't like you. It doesn't sound like a half-baked plan, does it? It doesn't sound like a cake with a soggy bottom or burnt around the edges. It sounds like perfection. And actually, you might not feel it right now. You might not even want to accept it. But actually, we as individuals and collectively as a church, we're in the palm of his hand. And if we submit ourselves to his plan, then that plan is designed for us to thrive. What a promise. We talk about people. As a church, we are about people, aren't we? We're about us, absolutely. But what about everyone else outside of these walls of this building? We are here to see the salvation of our boroughs. And for a church to thrive, it starts with the individual. It starts caring for the one. We've heard about a cap already, and that is such an awesome demonstration of what God can use us for in our local communities. And we are built to thrive in every area of our lives. That's financial, spiritual, family life, career. And for this, this church will stand up and be counted. Caring for someone, wanting them to do better, wanting them to live a thriving life, must be about more than just a simple chat every now and then. It should be so much more. We're here, don't we? Taking run up to that election that we had last year. You know, schools producing certain, you know, Eton College always producing prime ministers, and certain other schools producing all the MPs, all judges on this land. Got me thinking. It really challenged me. What if a church, but actually no, what if this church had a similar reputation? Not just for prime ministers, but how amazing would that be, by the way? I'm serious. How amazing would that be? But actually, what if we were known for as a church for producing outstanding teachers, successful business people, sought after consultants, the wisest parents, gifted leaders within the business world, within the social work world as well, within every aspect of life? What about we can expand CAP so rapidly that our CAP coaches are sought after by other churches to say, what do you do that works so well? They already do. There's a secret. What if we're able to give the best role models for our young people? What if our youth work is so on the edge of what's new that other churches are asking us, what do you do that's different? And actually all we can ask is, we're just trusting Jesus. So the question is, can we become this church? Three do. Can we become this church? Yeah. I believe so. Yeah. Actually, I believe we're called to be that church. Yeah. As a church, we are definitely so blessed. Not only do we have a fantastic building on Sutton High Street with the best coffee shop in the borough, clearly, in Tatsa Coffee, with our church offices, But actually, we get to use this place. I think that's incredible. What an amazing venue. Scratching the surface, that's all it is, though. That's just the start. A growing, expanding church needs more space. We see this place being packed. Whether the good problem we have to face as the senior leadership team is whether we go to a second service or whether we plant another location. Where we plant from a position of health. And we spoke about 2019 being the year of simplicity. In fact, our prayers, our thoughts, our minds, everything consumed us. It was year zero for us. Although not like celebrated, it's 10 years last year. For us, we weren't actually year simplicity. We're going to call it year zero. And what a year it was. God's just getting going. So much more to come. We talk about growth. Obvious sign of thriving, isn't it? It sounds obvious. But what I'm believing for and what I'm seeing, it's not just the odd salvation here on a Sunday. How about double digit? Not just here. Not even just in Sutton Central, our second location. What about our neighbouring towns? All with thriving congregations. And this is not growth for growth's sake. This is not a numbers game for us to pat on our back and go, wow, we hit that mark we've been looking for. It's because there's 275,000 people in the boroughs of Sutton and Epsom and Ewell that need Jesus. Who we, as one of the local churches, but as the local church, as we're responsible for that. And we start with the one, don't we? It's easy to start with the one. Because it's always about that. It's about your neighbour. It's about your work colleague, your hairdresser, ladies, your barber, the men. No judgment. The emergency plumber you've had to call out, the builder you've got quoting on your house, your gym buddy, the Uber driver, or if you're Rona Fulzani, the Addison Lee driver going up to London a few months ago. The mum in the school playground, the postman, the milkman, if you still have your milk delivered. For God's question of us individually, this is a challenge, and it's a daily challenge for us. If not you, then who? Healthy individuals lead to a healthy church. Shaman and I were pondering, we were really considering this and going, what does that actually look like? Easy to say, healthy individuals. All lose a little bit of weight, but no, it's more than that. So what are the characteristics do we see? Individuals thrive when they're in a good environment, when they're being effectively discipled. A healthy, growing church depends on it. What we want is where every single person knows what their next steps are. And this is more than just a program, a flowchart of getting 1 + 1 = 2, etc. But actually, it's part of our DNA and our culture as a church, with everyone being discipled by another. Whether it's a connect group leader, whether it's a team leader, if you serve one of our great teams, or a mentor, or whether it's just someone further on in the faith that you know you can trust and work with. And it's not by accident this happens. It has to be intentional. And that leads to spiritual growth. And also, we want to see Christians across this church who have rich, personal, spiritual development in their life. And it's obvious. It's obvious to all. Where we have dynamic prayer lives, where we challenge each other about reading the Bible, about what has God been saying to us recently. Where it's interwoven into our everyday conversations. Where proper, meaningful conversations are just normal for us all. Where we listen and act to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Where we act in the power of the Holy Spirit. Not scarily so, and certainly not the sole domain of a select few, but us all. Being naturally supernatural. Family life. This looks different for many different people. But whatever it looks like, we believe it can thrive. And it's not even just the families that we're born into. It's those that we identify as family. We are not supposed to live a life solo. As a family, we do that highly intentionally. And we love doing it. It's never a chore. It has the greatest reward. Seeing people develop in their walk, in their confidence, it's incredible. And we talk about multi-generational, and it's two words, thriving and multi-generational, came back in everything as we're preparing for this. And it's so key, and it underpins everything for us as a church. But no more than really just within families being so key. We clearly love families, and we want that turned up to the maximum. Hi, Ethan. As a church, we want to demonstrate and be really strong advocates of strong, healthy marriages. We want to be known to celebrate singles just as much as marriage, valuing and giving immense value to those in the glory years beyond retirement, including getting involved with the younger generations. We want to see our kids get spiritually rich. Why shouldn't they be prophesying over one another, hearing from God, encouraging them in their walk? Why shouldn't they be bringing their friends into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? We want to see each generation model for the younger generation what it means to be a follower of Christ and what it means to be living a fulfilling life. To me, that is something so exciting. You know, about our careers. Bit weird, isn't it, church? Influencing, helping people thrive in their careers. But why not? I think I've been in official work for 15 years. And through that past decade, I've had more people speak wisdom and truth and support and encouragement into my work life and my career from within church than those outside. Why shouldn't we as a church be helping everyone's career thrive? Why should this church's influence and impact stop at Monday 9 a.m. when you walk in the workplace and then resume at 10:20 or whenever you get here on a Sunday? We really want to see particularly those younger generations being encouraged, being trained, having people invest in their lives, being mentored. Even why not being offered employment opportunities within here as a church, as a development ground to release them into the calling on their lives. Ben encouraged us in our giving, and talking about money again, yes, I know. But actually, this goes way beyond our CAP services that we do so well. I do love that that is often the first experience for someone who's never been into church, the first experience of a Jesus who loves them, and a church that loves them and isn't going to judge them. I think it's an incredible opening opportunity to get into people's lives. But we want to be raising individuals, and we're raising families where money is talked about. In the Lord's TSB advert, it's good to talk about money. But raising families and individuals with good stewardship, with everyone tithing, where money is put aside not just for the future, but actually to bless others. Talked about extreme generosity. That's what we want to be known for as a church, to be extravagantly generous. We already offer CAP money courses, don't we, alongside our other CAP services. But what if we're able to release a generation across these boroughs that's financially literate, that actually gets money, that can understand saving and planning for the future and making wise decisions? What if through our CAP Centre, we're able to go into schools and teach them about money? What an opportunity for us as a church to make a difference, not just for 2020, not even for the next 10 years, but a lifelong difference in people's lives. How much better, that's a bad adjective, isn't it, better? But what a difference that would make over our boroughs and within our culture. And you might be sitting here and thinking, okay, Tim, that's a great lofty dream. And vision. And it is. It has to be. But that's what we're believing for this church and our communities. I love that CAP is just part of our response to a world that's broken. But what if we as the church were able to influence our boroughs, our society, our communities by educating and nurturing others, eradicating the need for homeless shelters? What if we can eradicate long-term unemployment within our boroughs? What a difference that would make to our boroughs and to everyone else. What if we as a church, we were the biggest giver into social causes within our boroughs, even above what local government does? What if when we speak as a church, people listen? What if when we speak, the council listens? What if when we speak, local businesses listen and want to get involved with what we're pioneering? What if when we speak, God delivers? And what about our kids and our youth? I had yesterday with Grant, our pastor of families, had a day in Gloucestershire looking at an amazing organization. It was really challenging, but what was amazing, we had a little session at the end of just all these youth leaders who are being trained, all young adults, all just giving it to God. Passionate about worship, passionate about discipleship, passionate about being a change within their local youth. I just wanted to hear the stories, some of the really complex stories of people's lives who are just complicated, yet there's a Christian standing with them and walking them through it. We see our kids and our youth programs here helping change the direction of a whole generation. How amazing is that? London clearly has a knife crime problem at the moment, and no one really has a clue on how to fix it. What if the church is the answer? What if, through how God will use us as a church, that youth crime becomes so low within these boroughs, that it becomes a beacon of how a church can work with local government, with the police, with partners, with our education services to bring about real change? And we are so blessed, I said it earlier, to be a church of all generations. We believe that's significant, not just for now, for this year, but actually as we grow and God continues to use us, it's going to become even more significant. Where the more life-experienced generations play a leading role, not just with our school kids, but others as well. Showing them the right way, nurturing them, leading by example, but also where children are able to support and serve that same older generation. What if the church can be part of the solution for restoring the culture of respect within our culture? It's big, isn't it? I told you it has to be bigger than us. If you're not slightly worried, I'd be very disappointed. But actually, that's where faith and it's where God comes in, isn't it? We want him to use us, to stretch us, to build us, to develop us, to make this vision happen. And it might not be even in my lifetime. I'm okay with that, actually. But we have to start somewhere. Come back to what I said earlier. Faith is our unfaltering confidence in the promises of God that cause us to give more, to go further, to work harder and hold on longer than we would for any other reason. Simply put, that is what it is going to take. And it starts with us. It starts with your own individual walk with Christ and devotion to God. And Shaman and I have a gift for you. See, this is a gift from us. This is not a gift from United Life. This is our gift. This is our sacrifice for you.
So, as we were preparing this message for Sunday, for today, we really wanted to gift you something. And I know Christmas is over, but we really wanted to gift you something together that we could do as a church together. So as Tim said, it starts with us and it starts with our own individual discipleship. So as Tim said earlier, I love to journal, and maybe you'll join me on that journey. So home team, if you go out to the Rose. We're going to gift you a little pack here that Tim and I have put together. It's a little journal. It's blank. It's lined. And with it is a little devotional, which you can open a bit later because Tim's not quite finished, but I'm going to open this one. It's a 20-day devotional that will take you to the end of this month. It starts today. And it covers topics that we're going to cover this whole year. Things like unity, togetherness, the Trinity, marriage, friendship, leadership, hospitality, generosity, the church, generations, the armor of God, and prayer. It's not a full devotion like we gave you in the summer, but it just gives you one scripture that we'd love you to pull apart on your own. Use the journal, which is beautifully branded. Use the journal and write what God is showing you. Write what your Holy Spirit is inspiring with you with as you go through this journal each and every day. If you're on social media, post, use hashtag #UnitedWeStand, hashtag devotion, January, whatever you like, so we can see what you guys are up to and what you're doing. And we would love to hear how this devotion is going over the course of the rest of this month. So there is one for everybody. Take it. We're going to do it. We encourage everyone to do it. And Tim talked about prayer and fasting. So at the beginning, week commencing the 20th of Jan, we are asking you again to choose three days to pray, to fast for yourself, for whatever you want to see God break through in, and for this church. And we'll talk about that again as to how you can fast, how you can pray within those 3 days. So we hope you like your little gift from us. Take it, use it, encourage each other to do it, ask each other how it's going in your connect groups. You can use it as well. And we look forward to hearing what God shares with you and deposits in your heart as you do this, as we do this together as a church for the next 20 days. Thank you.
Awesome. Thanks, Shemaine. Don't know if you remember, in January 2019, we had a two-part series called Dear United Life. And Ben and Catherine essentially wrote a letter sharing their heart for United Life, and then we wrote one as well. And they were both very different, which was amazing. And actually, we wrote, in the last few paragraphs of our letter, we felt to read it again. It's true today as much as it was last year. So it goes like this. Ephesians 5 reminds us that Christ gave up his life for the church to make her holy and clean. And why? He did this to present her to himself as a glorious church, without a spot or wrinkle or any other blemish, that she would be holy and without fault. He gave up his life for the church. That is us. See, through United Life, we belong to Jesus. And this local growing community is his church. He's building her and asking us to partner with him, to be the strong, bold, vibrant, fun, attractive, welcoming body of Christ, a house full of his praise and a home for everyone to be welcomed into. We cannot say we love Jesus and not love the church, because we are his body here on earth, and he wants to speak and move on this earth through us. The harvest is plenty. The workers are few. Keep Jesus front and center. Choose to position yourself here, to choose to love his bride. Be ready to be that glorious church for when Jesus comes again. C3 Night Life, be under no illusion. Charmaine and I, the same goes for Ben and Catherine as well, we love you. I have one question. Are you ready? Are you ready for what God's going to do next? And that is the question, and that needs to be our response this morning. Me to decide. Say to God, I'm in. I'm part of this crazy journey. That's what it's going to be. Actually, you're going to close the service very shortly. But the prayer team and I will be here at the front. And we'd love to stand with you. I know the same will go for Charmaine and Ben and Catherine. We'd love to pray for you, for God to fill you again with the Holy Spirit, to be all that he has called you to be, that you know that you have purpose and value. Maybe you're here today and you've not really ever considered Jesus as your first love? As is God sent his son, Jesus, so that you can have life, a life that is thriving, so that you can have purpose. He's removed all the things that you've done and you've said by taking our place and dying on the cross for us. He made a way for us to have a relationship with God. Actually, if you want to surrender your life to Jesus, because that's essentially what it is, and live for him and be part of this glorious family, the church that is here on earth, we're just going to pray a really simple prayer. Say a few lines, repeat after me. But just so that I know who I'm praying with and to encourage, can I just get us all just to close our eyes and bow our heads? If that's you, if you want to make that decision, can I ask you just raise your hand so I can pray with you and encourage you in that? Maybe you've been here before, you've prayed that, a very similar prayer before, but you know you've walked away. You know that you're not living a life in freedom. If that's you, you can say, just simply raise your hands, I know who I'm praying with. Simply pray after me. Father God, I recognize my need for you. Thank you for loving me and sending your son Jesus to die on the cross. Thank you that I am forgiven, that you would give me a fresh start today and a hope for the future. I invite Jesus into my life right now. I thank you that I am now a Christian and I choose to follow you every single day. In Jesus' name. Amen.